So hi, welcome to the Grownups Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
And we're here with
Mike from Boys of Fall.
All right, some questions to say about the upcoming self-titled album. So congrats on that, by the way. How do you feel about the response to the announcement so far?
Awesome so far. No complaints. Everybody seems to be very excited to hear some screaming, so.
Hell yeah. It was jamming in the new single before the interview, and there's certainly screaming on that.
Yes.
So yeah. I expect it throughout the record.
Oh, yes.
The record is going to be a solid mix of what we've always done. It's definitely got screaming, but it's got a lot of pop punk and pop and emo and sad and everything that we love to do.
All right.
Hell yeah. Something for everything.
Yeah. Yep.
Hell yeah. So is there any reason behind this being your self-titled record? And is there any meaning behind the cover art?
We've just done, like, this is our fourth album. So much has kind of changed since Distance has come out. And we just kind of felt like it was time to do a self-titled record. I don't know. It just felt like everything we were putting together, like the mix of all the different sounds and styles on the record, like it just felt like now was the time to do it. You know, we've went through some just changes, member changes, sound changes, and it just felt like this whole record is going to kind of encompass who we are and who we've been. So it was just time to do a self-titled.
Fair enough.
Hell yeah.
Did you guys set out with the self-titled in mind, or did it come together as you guys started writing the record where it was like, this is just everything, like this is a self-titled?
It came together probably halfway through writing it. We always write the instrumentals first, and we kind of were just at our writing session and we were like, what if we just self-titled it? I mean, let's just do it. So it was kind of, I don't know, it's kind of risky to do that sometimes, but we were just like, you know what? We're four records in, you know, fuck it. Am I allowed to swear on this before?
Yeah.
I
yes. Oh, swear away. Yeah. Yeah.
Go for it.
And any meaning behind the cover art?
Cover art. So, the same gentleman, Alan, who did our Distance album, he did the new album, and we're still kind of finalizing the actual art to the album. But the cover art for Stray, it just kind of like we wanted this color palette that was just that purple and black and like white and dark. And I don't know, the cover art just kind of spoke to exactly what we were trying to portray, just with Stray and being by yourself and like venturing out. And I don't know, you know, he's kind of always come to us and just like knocked it out of the park every time he sends us an idea. And he always sends us like a paragraph to what his like inspiration was and which lyric like did it for him. And aww, pretty much normally he just nails it on the head.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
The color palette chose that you guys picked for this album is great. I'm a big fan of the purple and the black and the white. It goes together nicely.
Yeah, we are too.
Hell yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about your writing process for the album?
This one actually was very different. So we've always kind of written at the studio, and this time we completely changed locations. We wrote pretty much all of the instrumentals at Jake's house. He has this like cool little room that has a bunch of reptile like cages in it with like snakes rolling around and like different stuff. And he's got these like LED lights that are in the corner. And it was just a very different vibe and very different atmosphere. And we're like, you know what? We need to change our surroundings and just do something that feels different. So we started with location. We kind of follow the same process that we always do, which was writing instrumentals first. But I don't know, I kind of felt like all the soft songs came together first, and then we started writing like the more heavier than pop punk. Like it was almost like we felt like we needed to get all these like soft ballad songs out of the way first. And then once we did that, the rest of the like harder songs and more driving songs like came together. So we just wrote this record like very, I don't know, just very weird compared to how we normally do it.
Do you think that the change of location impacted the sound of the record at all?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. How so?
I don't know. Like whenever we write a song, there's like a mood in mind for it, and we all had to feel it, and like we just set the lights a certain way to be in the room, and like we always had, for some reason, like Guinness was the beer of the record. So like we there's one song on the record called Guinness Business, and like we just I don't know, we just we're always going after a mood or a tone in each of the songs, and like we just very much set the tone of the room to feel how we were feeling. Like we would change the light colors to feel how we would feel. And it definitely had an impact in how we were writing and how we were feeling at the time, and like parts and how parts were being put together. And like I said, very different than what we normally do, because normally we would just get in this room and start writing, and we didn't do that.
Interesting. What was like the reason for changing up the scenery? What, like, did it happen organically, or was it like you guys being like, we're gonna write this record outside of the studio?
It started with just ease of, like, because we all work different jobs, we all have different schedules, we all have different times, and Jake has like the most labor intensive work and schedule. And at first it started as kind of like this, you know what, we'll just bring everything to you, like that way you'll be home and comfy and in your environment. And then the more we started doing that, we kind of just enjoyed how it was writing at his place. So yeah, we just started going about it that way. And it wasn't really intentional at the start in terms of like, oh, we're going to write the record here for sure. But it ended up being that way, to where we just made a conscious decision, like, you know what? The first couple songs we've written have turned out really good. We really like how this feels. Like the vibe is good in the room. So we're just going to keep going with that.
Fair enough. Makes
Hell
sense.
yeah. And when, like, halfway through the writing process, when you guys did decide to dub this record as your self-titled, do you think that put any extra pressure on yourself while finishing off the record?
100%. I felt so much pressure in trying to finish like the lyrics on this record and the melodies. And I definitely did not do myself any favors by naming it a self-titled, because I'm like, oh fuck, like now this is gonna people are gonna really focus on the fact that it's like, why did they call it a self-titled? Like, what is the, like, every part entail? What does it encompass? And I feel like, yes, there's much more of a microscope on everything that we're doing because of it. And specifically, like I have like I'm like double guessing like on stuff. I'm like rewriting stuff. I keep going back and forth on stuff. So yeah, there's definitely added pressure it being a self-titled.
100%. Damn. So what song off this record took the longest to write, and which one is your personal favorite?
The one that probably took the longest to write was Stray. Just because like Dan and I started that idea, and then when we came into it, we changed a bunch of chords. Like normally we'll finish a song in like two sessions instrumentally, and that one was probably three or four sessions. That is probably one of my favorites, but Guinness Business is one of the others. Like it just has this like very feel good, nostalgic, like poppy pop punk sound to it. Like the melodies came together very well for that song, and like every time we all jam, like people will be like all of us in the band will be like, you know, Guinea is like turning out actually really good, like I actually like that one a lot. So that might end up being one of the singles, but Stray is definitely one of them. There's another, I'm trying to not call some of these like actual by names because they're still in their demo name phase, and I don't want to just say a name. Guinness Business is staying,
Okay,
but
good. Locked in.
I that's probably one of my favorites on the record.
All right, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
So how did the track list of the album come about? Did you guys write the opener be the opener, close would be a closer, shuffle around and see what fits? What was that process like?
Shuffling around to see what fits. Like I said, we kind of started writing like all the soft songs first. We were just in that like mode. We didn't know what we wanted the heavier songs or more pop punk songs to like sound like, and like the ballady songs were just kind of coming out easier. Almost Happy was actually one of the first songs that we wrote for the record. And I don't know. We're kind of still like ordering it how we want it to go. We never really write it like from start to finish. It always ends up being just random. We'll figure out which song is going to have like an interlude or a build up or something like that, but we never really know what the album order is, and we'll pretty much argue about it until the end of it.
Fair enough.
As much as we can be, as much as we can be like cohesive and be on the same page, we can also all be on totally opposite pages because it's the self-titled record. Like all of us are a little bit more opinionated about things right now. So, like I said, it's awesome, but at the same time, like we didn't do ourselves any favors with it.
Yeah, I've watched like track list orders like tear bands apart. Like not in the literal sense where like they break up, but like it's a huge fight. Because it's like
Oh
it's
yeah.
got to be my way, but your way isn't right, and neither is my way, you know.
Yep. And I feel like us, like I feel like whichever song is going to open the record, that's what's going to we're going to argue about the most. I still think Guinness Business is going to open the record, but I know that there's been arguments about that already, so I'm just putting it out there that not that is the first
Putting
one.
it right out into the press now. You're like, now
Right
it's
out
got to
into the
be. I said
press.
it in some
Yeah.
interviews, you
Exactly. Yep. Yep. Like, sorry guys, I already said it, so.
That's how it is now. So would you be able to tell us where your headspace is at while you're creating this record?
It started out like very anxiety filled, like the start of this record, because like Distance came out pretty much right at the start of the pandemic, and we weren't able to play shows on it for over 2 years, and we weren't able to see what works or what doesn't work or what people like or what they don't like or what we didn't like about the record or like what didn't translate live how we wanted it to. So when we were told that we owed another record, like we kind of just walked into it and we're like, we haven't even like let go of this other record or anything like that. I don't even know where to start with this record. We want the record to sound different, but at the same time, like we don't feel different. We don't even know what's different about it. So we had a lot of anxiety going into it. We had mutually parted ways with one of the original members, Eli, and he was also a big part of the writing process. Like he was always a sounding board for all of us, and so it was just like it was a very different experience going into it. Like it was very nerve-wracking. We didn't know what we were going to name the record at the time. We didn't know how we wanted it to sound. We didn't know anything about it. And then like early on, like the songs, like I'm the heavy guy in the band. So like when we were starting the album and the songs were all coming out like softer, like I was nervous about it. I was worried about it. I'm like, oh fuck, like are we all gonna be on the same page about it? And then like once the songs kind of started to formulate and we started to get like more ideas out there and different things, and we started like shifting from nervous to excited. And then once we got closer to finishing the instrumentals of the album, I was like, fuck, what do I want to say on this record? Like, what do I want to even do? So then I got nervous all over again when it came to writing lyrics and melodies. And so, but we're kind of back in the phase of like excitement. We're really happy with how everything came together. And, it's just been like a very up and down process. It's every record's like that, but this one more so than all the others has been just like a very up and down, like super excited, super nervous, super anxious. This is awesome. This is scaring me. Like, what are we doing with this? Like, so, but it all came together like very well. It all came together in a very cohesive manner at the end.
That's good.
Fuck
That's
yeah.
good. You opened up that answer by saying that like you weren't sure if you were like ready to move past your last record Distance. Now, with this record on the horizon starting to roll out, do you feel that you've finally been able to kind of make peace and kind of be able to move on from that part of the band and start this next one? I know like there was a pandemic and all that that's like made that record not be able to be as celebrated, I guess is the word, if it was a normal world. But have you kind of made peace with it, or are you still kind of struggling with moving past that record?
Yes and no. Yes and no. Like the pandemic was just so weird for everybody. And I didn't think it was going to have an effect musically like it did on us or on me. But like I said, like when it came to like our Thank You and Goodbye record and our Better Moments record, like we got to play those records to death. And by the time we were done with it, we were so done hearing the records that we were so ready to write new stuff. Mm-hmm. And Distance, we didn't get to do that. Like we still love that record very much. Like it's still our favorite stuff to play live. We haven't really played any of this new stuff live. Like we haven't gotten to play Stray live. We've only played one show that we could play Almost Happy live. So we've been very much like still having to play Distance and like trying to figure out like how that was fitting in the set. And so like, yes and no, I'm when I think about our music, I'm not thinking about Distance anymore. I'm very much like focused on the new record and trying to figure out like how I'm finalizing it and all the lyrics and the melodies. And like, I'm so focused on trying to perfect it because we're such perfectionists about this stuff. So in that way, like I definitely have let it go and I've moved past it. But in other ways, like when it comes to live stuff, we're always like, oh shit, man, I really like playing this song live. It's just it's just such a bop. And we're trying to figure out now, like, all right, what new songs are we going to play? Like what's going to come across? What's not going to? So it's just a process. It's always a process when a new album's getting ready to be put out.
For sure. So how do you recommend your fans to listen to this album for the first time? Should you in the car with friends and talk with headphones on? Is workout album, party album? What do you personally recommend?
However you normally listen to our records. That's what I'm going to recommend. We have so many people that listen to our stuff in the gym, and there's definitely going to be songs that listen to in the gym. I'm personally one of those people that just like, I put an album on when I'm driving and cry to it. Like that's what I do. I put an album on and I go for a long drive and I listen to it. And that's how I experience it. Some people go for long walks and put their headphones in. So it's very like, it's very unfair of me to say like how somebody should take the record in. I would just say, however you listen to your favorite records and find your stuff, like that's how you should go into this. Like don't, cause I say, get in a car and go listen to it. Don't just do that. If you like going for a 9 mile walk and putting your headphones in, like fucking do that. Like do whatever you need to do.
Hell yeah. Good.
That's probably the most avoidant answer ever, but like that's just my a little
bit, just a little bit, but it's honest. So like, it's fine.
It is an honest answer. Yeah. I like that's how I look at it. I'm like, well, I drive around in the car, but like some people are like, yeah, but my car system sucks and I don't like listening to music in my car. So I'll be like, all right, well, don't listen to it that way.
Then don't fucking do it. Yeah. So this one should be super, super quick off the top of your head. I want you to describe this album for new listeners in 3 words. No more, no less.
Nostalgic, emotional, and cathartic.
Damn.
Nice and fast.
Thank you.
Hell yeah. And in that same train of thought, is there a certain feeling or emotion you want listeners to have while going through the album?
The embracing of change. Not because like our sound has changed a bunch or anything like that, but like a lot of the lyrics and all of that are kind of just focused on like life changes and things go on. And like, you know, I that's like the feeling that I get every time I listen to some of these songs is like, wow, so much has changed over like so fast. And at the same time, like so incredibly slow. Mm-hmm. And that's the feeling I get when I listen to it.
Gotcha. Wonderful. So are you able to touch on any particularly challenging or standout moments from the creation of this album, positive or negative?
Yeah, I mean, like, I would say the most challenging part of the record in like a positive way was we forced ourselves to like try a bunch of new things and to not like, I keep saying like there's so many parts that I've overthought, but at the same time, there were a lot of parts that we didn't overthink. We just were like, you know what, this sounds good. Like, that's it. All three of us agree on it. We're moving forward. And there's been so many times in the past where it was like, you're trying to get it past five members and five people agreeing on a piece of creative, like something creatively, like is almost impossible to get five people to agree on it. Mm-hmm. So having like, for the most part, three or four of us in the room and like getting to do that, like we just were like, you know what, we're going for it. And that was a big change creatively than we were used to. Negatively was like the amount of pressure that we put on ourselves for it. I mean, I especially like vocally, because I feel like we've always been a very vocal driven band. Like I have put a completely unnecessary amount of pressure on myself and my lyric writing. And I pretty much rewritten everything like four or five times. Like Stray, Stray was one of the few choruses on the record that I wrote on the first go. But there's a couple songs on the record that took me like 4 or 5 rewrites for me to get right to where I was actually happy with it. And the band would look at me and be like, all right, this doesn't suck. Like, this is good. This is good. So, So negatively, just like way too much pressure on ourselves.
Is that typically how your vocal, you know, your writing process goes, where like it's rewrite, rewrite, rewrite? Or is it because you've touted that this is the self-titled?
No, it definitely is rewrite, rewrite. I don't feel like I'm a vocalist that always like puts things out immediately like poetic, like as poetic as I would like it to sound, or like as deep or connected as I would like it to sound. So I feel like some of the time it's like mostly I'm putting words to a melody to try to figure out what the spacing is, or like if this is too wordy, or if this like fits the melody. And then from there, I'm doing rewrites of like lyrics to actually get it to say what I want it to say, which then in turn will start changing melody. So it's definitely not a new process for me to like rewrite and rewrite. Like there was a song on Distance, I remember I rewrote the chorus like 7 times because I just wasn't happy with how it was turning out. And then it became one of my favorite songs on the record. So it's definitely not something new for me. I just feel like extra, like, girl, it's got to be real good this time. Like, it's got to be real, real good this time.
Gotcha. Fair enough. So for the last couple of questions, we're going to shift away from music. So if you could be one animal for the rest of your life, what animal would you be and why?
Well, I always said I wanted to fly, so I'd be some sort of like a falcon or something. just fly everywhere.
That's perfect. Awesome. Hell yeah. Oh, yeah. And if you could have lunch with any celebrity or artist, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
I feel like I would sit here and like think on this question forever. You know what? Straight up, because I love hip hop stuff and all that, I would have a conversation with Tupac. He was so, he was such a, huge. Everybody knows who Tupac is and everybody knows songs by him. And he was such a creative force. And I'd love to just talk to him and find out what his like mindset was when he was writing songs or lyrics or anything like that. And then also just be like, all right, what happened?
Yeah.
Who did it?
Who did it?
Yeah.
Give me a name.
Yeah.
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 Right. All right. Pick.
And for this last question, boom, you're on a desert island. You can bring one movie, one album, and one person. Who and what are you bringing?
Movie, I'm bringing The Godfather. I don't know why I love mafia movies so much, but that's
kind of badass,
bringing that. Plus, it would keep me occupied for like 4 hours.
Damn.
What was the other ones? Person and what?
Album.
I would probably bring the Counting Crows Greatest Hits album, because I just love the Counting Crows so much. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. That was like an album that my dad used to play all the time when I was growing up, and I just like, I loved his lyrics and I loved his voice and all that, and I could listen to that record over and over and over. And person, I'd probably bring, now I'm gonna hurt some feelings saying that, so I don't know. Whoever I'd be dating when I end up on that island, I'll just bring them.
All right.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right.
I was going to say, if I pick Jake or Dan, one of them's going to be like, what the fuck, Faj?
Yeah. What's wrong with
Come
you?
Come on. Pick the other one.
One on me.
Yeah.
Like Jake and I would make great music together, but we would also probably bicker all the time. And then Dan is just such a sweetheart, but he's just, I don't know. I couldn't pick between the two of them.
Fair enough. So as I said, that's all the questions we have today. Is there anything that you would like to plug?
Yeah, our new album is coming out at the end of April, April 26th. We have a tour coming up right at the end of the April, so that's going to be our album release tour. We're finally going out and hitting the West Coast. Please check it out. Pick up the pre-order once it comes out. And also just, thank you guys so much for having me. I really enjoyed being here.
Of course, we had a blast. Well, thank you for now. It's been Mike from Boys of Fall, and we have been the Good Noise Podcast.